Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Marisa Valdez, and I'm the illustrator of Ambitious Girl, written by Mina Harris, published by Little Brown Young Readers. Today, I'm joined by Ana Siquera and Gloria Mezcua. And today, on this episode of Debut Diary, the picture book edition, we'll be talking about titles, cover design, and illustrations. Ana, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book?
Sure. My name is Ana Siqueira. I'm just a children's author, not illustrator. The book coming in July 2021 is Bea's Recipe for Success from Beaming Books, illustrated by Geraldine Rodriguez. And instead of reading the blurb that I have in Goodreads, I will read today the blurb from Lynn Marie. She's a writer and she wrote an endorsement for my book and I really like it. So I'm going to read her blurb. Success seems to come easily for Bea's sibling, but for Bea, not so much. She tries and tries again, but cannot find her talent. Her love for polvorones and dulce de leche inspires her to try and bake like her beloved abuela. But even that doesn't work. Finally, Bea's determination leads her to discover the secret to success. Children and adults alike will enjoy this multi-generational tale of a girl for whom achievement does not come easily. Little ones will laugh at her funny comparisons and identify with her failed attempts. They surely will be inspired to, like Bea, never give up and ultimately enjoy the sweet taste of success. A fun recipe is a plus. Also, I'd like to take advantage of that and tell you that another book is coming 2022, If Your Babysitter is a Bruja, illustrated by Irena Freitas from Simon Kids. And it is about if you get a new babysitter and it's almost Halloween, be wary, for she might just be a Bruja. Okay, so now, Gloria, you can tell us about your books.
Hi, everyone. I really can't wait to share my book and my debut process with you. My picture book bio is Child of the Flower Song People, Luz Jimenez, daughter of the Nahua. As a young Nahua girl in Mexico during the early 1900s, Luz learned how to grind corn in a metate, to twist yarn with her toes, and to weave on a loom. By the fire at night, she listened to stories of her community's joys, suffering, and survival, and wove them into her heart. But when the Mexican Revolution came to her village, Luz and her family were forced to flee and start a new life in Mexico City. There, Luz became a model for painters, sculptors, and photographers, such as Diego Rivera, Jean Charlot, and Tina Modotti. These artists were interested in showing the true face of Mexico and not a European version. Through her work, Luz found a way to preserve her people's culture by sharing her native language, stories, and traditions while she posed. Soon scholars came to learn from her. This moving, beautifully illustrated biography tells the remarkable story of how model and teacher Luz Jimenez became the soul of Mexico, a living link between the indigenous Nahua and the rest of the world. Through her deep pride in her roots and her unshakable spirit, the world came to recognize the beauty and strength of her people. I'm very excited that Duncan Thonathiu is the illustrator. Child of the Flower Song is written in verse and comes out August 17th, 2021 from Abrams Books.
Wow. Yeah, oh my gosh, Gloria and Ana. I am so excited for both of these books. They sound, or all of your books, the range of books, they sound so amazing. I'll go ahead and say a little bit about Ambitious Girl. Like I said, I'm Marisa Valdez, the illustrator of Ambitious Picture Book, Ambitious Girl, written by Mina Harris, published by Little Brown Publishing. And that actually debuted this past January. It's about a young girl that sees a strong woman on TV labeled as too assertive and too ambitious, sending her on a journey of discovery through past, present, and future about the challenges faced by women and girls and the ways in which they can reframe, redefine, and reclaim words meant to knock them down. I'd love to just say a little line from the book. No to that or to this will stop what's inside us from flowering. From now on, when I hear to that or to this, I won't mind. It's empowering, which I really love that line. I'm also the illustrator of the upcoming early chapter book series, Esme's Birthday Conga Line, written by Lourdes Heyer, published by Tundra Books. That should be coming out in spring of 2022. So we have a few questions today, which I'm really, really excited about. I'll be talking about the illustration side of things, but I'm really, really excited to hear about the author perspective when it comes to these questions. So Anna, what was your original title? How did you come up with it? Did it change? And if it did, why? And how do you feel about that?
Bea's recipe for success, it is really Bea's recipe for disaster, and then cross out the disaster and success. I changed the title many times. I couldn't come up with a title. I was like, she quits again, and many different titles. So I always like to get help from the writing community. So I went to some of those Facebook pages like Kidlit 411, another one I don't remember, or Kidlit Latniks. And then I put my questions. They said, who can give me an idea for a title? I was really like clueless about a good title. And then somebody came, a lot of ideas came, and I liked the one that it was like, bake it until you fake it or something like that. And I said, oh, that is cute. But then for some reason, somebody told me, no, you shouldn't use that because I don't remember some copyright problems. I don't know. And then I said, well, I should get something with recipes. So that inspired me, even though I didn't use that idea inspired me to come with something with recipe, you know? So that's when, because she will end up baking, right? So I really enjoy getting that help from the community. My editor did not change the title. She liked the title. So it's complicated. The title can be complicated. For The Babysitter, the title came to my head like that. That was the title. That's like I had that story in my mind for, I don't know, maybe 20 years because that kind of happened with my daughter. My daughter, not with a babysitter, with me. We were at the beach and then she didn't want to leave. And when I made her leave, she told me I was a bruja, I was not her mom. And she would be like shouting from the beach to our house, you're not my mom, you're a bruja, I want my mom, where is my mom? So that idea has been in my head for 20 years. And then this, I didn't want to say if your mom is a bruja, so I just used if your babysitter is a bruja. But the title has been in my head forever. So, and the editor didn't change. And I do have a third book coming out that I cannot announce yet, but the title didn't change yet. So I'm guessing I'm getting really good at titles. I don't know. Yeah. Even though the third title was really my agent's idea. Well, yeah, that's a fun but tough process, right, Gloria? What about you?
Oh my gosh, my title has changed so much. I had to kind of look it up and had forgotten some of the titles that it had. It's been a long time in coming too. The original title was Lucy Menez, No Ordinary Girl, Symbol of Mexico in Art and Language. And that's what it was when it received the Lee and Lowe's New Voices Honor Award in 2016. So you see how long the story's been in the works. Then after I got an agent, she thought the title was too ordinary. So I had some other titles, changed it to Luz Jimenez, Aztec Flower Song, Luz Jimenez, Child of the Flower Song People, Living Link to the Aztecs. And then I think that was probably with some input from my agent. I can't remember. Then I do know that it was changed as she wanted to change it to something that would be appealing to publishers and that probably wouldn't stay as a title, but that would catch their attention. So the title we submitted it with was Xochiquicatl, Luz Jimenez and the Flower Song. And Xochiquilcatl means flower song. And so that was the submission title. And then it was changed then with the editor to Child of the Flower Song People, Luz Jimenez. Mm-hmm. And that stayed for a while until it got to marketing. And marketing people said to my editor, but it doesn't really say what it's about. So now I have this really long title that takes up so much space. Out of the Flower Song People, Luz Jimenez, Daughter of the Nahua. But I totally understand why they wanted to add mm-hmm. something to it, because it didn't say exactly what that meant. So yeah, so now that's my title. Child of the Flower Song People, Luz Jimenez, Daughter of the Nahua. Not the title changes.
That's a beautiful title, though. And you're right, it does say exactly what it is. And I think it's interesting how the difference between fiction books and then nonfiction books. Mm-hmm. Fiction books, I feel like it can be more of a mystery. But with nonfiction, like, I want to know exactly what this is about before digging into it. So that is so interesting. For myself, as the illustrator, I was like, I had absolutely no say in the title of Ambitious Girl. I wasn't around to see any changes, if there was any changes to the title. But I feel like Ambitious Girl, the book, that title, like the story revolves around that mm-hmm. title. So I just could not imagine it with any other title. In fact, the editors and art director and I actually started referring to the main character as Ambitious Girl. So in our correspondence, right, mm-hmm. we would type in AG. And the first couple of times I was like, AG, what are they talking about? Like, oh, Ambitious Girl. I think it works so perfectly. And I can't imagine it as anything else. It also helped me as the illustrator make the character. Right, Ambitious Girl is just so straightforward. So for me, I was like, okay, I want this like spunky, really confident character, just based on that title. So that was really helpful. I'm also a budding author illustrator, and so I do write my own stories as well as illustrate them. And the only way I'd say 99% of the time when I come up with a story, I come up with a title first. I don't know if that's how you guys do it, but it's like the title first and then the story comes afterwards. And it's like the only way my brain processes. I don't know if you guys normally write the story, and I feel like nonfiction is probably totally different, Gloria.
I didn't have a title at first, no. Mm-mm.
I normally have a title. Most of my titles, I don't change, but yeah, sometimes I will go ahead and change later, you know, because I put like a temporary title and I might need it to change after I finish writing the story, or my agent might give me an input. But Beya was a hard title to come up. Yeah.
Great. So for a second question, Anna, did you have any input on the cover design? What did you like most about your cover design? I'd love to know more about that.
Yes, I did have the editor, Naomi Kruger. She did call me and ask me about when they were doing the cover. And it's funny that the Bayes cover was the first thing that I saw. And now for that, If Your Babysitter Is a Bruja, I was talking to Irena, and Irena said, no, that's going to be the last thing we're going to do. And I said, oh, I'm so disappointed. I want to see the cover. But she did call me to get some input on the main character. You know, she wanted to know more about the main character, how I imagined my main character. And I kind of imagined my main character for some reason just like my sister when she was a little. So even though this is a no-no, don't send pictures of your grandkids or kids to, when you submit to publisher agents, I did submit her a picture of my sister because she asked me how I imagined the main character. So it's not exactly like my sister, but it is kind of similar. My illustrator is from Mexico, so she said if it was okay for the illustrator to do more like Mexican, you know, the background for the main character and the illustrations. And I said, yes, totally, you know. So she did ask me for some input. She did send me a sketch when she had it. And I love the cover. I love Bea. She's so cute. And besides her being so cute, I really love the color. It's yellow. Yellow is my favorite color. She didn't ask me that, but she got it. She nailed the cover. I really love the cover. I think it says a lot about Bea, and she's there trying to bake and with her face full of flour. So it's really cute. I really love the cover from Geraldine Rodriguez and all her illustrations.
Yeah, the cover is extremely cute. And it feels like it's been out forever. I feel like I see it everywhere.
I know. Because that was a problem. Well, it was not a problem, it's a good thing. But when she showed me the cover, it was not time for the cover review yet. But because I was going to do a nerd camp, I asked my editor if I could show the cover on the NERPED, do the cover review on the nerd camp. And she said, yes, go ahead. So I have showed the cover. And since then, I put the cover everywhere. I really love it. I really love, I want to get a doll. I'm going to make ask one of those in Etsy, how do you say it? Etsy Bay or something like that, that you can get people to make dolls for you. I want to make a doll for my baby because she's too cute. And I have to give one for my each grandkid and have one for myself. So I really love the cover.
Yeah, one for us. And also, yes, to the yellow. I try and put yellow in all my illustrations, whether people like it or not. I feel art directors are like, not so much yellow, Marissa. but Gloria, I'd love to hear about your cover design.
I didn't have any input on the cover design, but I love the image of Luz Jimenez holding a basket of fruit that Duncan Tonatu did, because it's based on, it's a representation of one of the paintings that she was in that she modeled for. And I love the border that it has on both sides too, that's very authentic to the culture and to the time period. And I just love that cover design. And I had nothing to do with it. but it's very, the colors are beautiful. I love the kind of soft turquoise in the background, and it's great. I love it.
Wow. Did they hand you the final illustration for the cover design and say like, this is it, or?
No input at all on any of that. There's someone that's the cover design person too, that actually designs the way it looks on the page besides the artist. But the artist, of course, has the illustration like that in the book. And so they use that one. And actually that went through, I saw a previous one that they were thinking about that was in the interior. I hadn't seen the cover. The cover came later. And then we changed that one based upon, I didn't think the research showed that particular painting as definitely being Luz Jimenez. And so I didn't talk to the artist, I didn't talk to Duncan directly, but I thought, oh, I love this. This is just beautiful. And, but I said, I wrote him and said, this is to the editor, and said, I'm not sure that this is actually Luz Jimenez. And so then he corresponded with Duncan and decided to change it. I actually think it probably is her, but since it's a biography and we have to be accurate, and they didn't have the
Yeah, it had to be 100%.
The primary source. There was a secondary source, but not the primary source. So mm-hmm. all that goes into biography. So they changed it. But it's always through the editor. I never directly communicated with Duncan Thonatu. But it turned out beautifully. So I'm fine. I'm fine. It looks great.
That's great. Yeah, it does seem like you have to be so accurate with nonfiction work. As an illustrator, that seems so daunting to me. It's like, oh, I have to make sure.
Yeah, it requires a lot of research on the illustrator's part as well. And they, I don't know how, but it's like I do my research, but he does his own or her own research. So,
yeah.
That's interesting. So for the cover design for Ambitious Girl, I had a lot of input. the whole process for Ambitious Girl, illustrating it, actually was very quick. We only ended up from start to finish, it took a month for everything.
Wow.
Super fast process. Yeah. So the designer, the art director and designer, they weren't like, okay, let's see your sketches for the cover. They were like, this is kind of what we're thinking for the cover. Can you do this? So they already had kind of a mock-up for me. And so I did that. That was at like the middle of the process, middle of the month. I created a cover, but it ended up being a big struggle for me because I created the cover. I finished it. I sent it off. And I looked at it a couple days later and I was like, I hate this. So the character to me, she didn't look very confident. She kind of didn't look like the character, like the illustrations on the inside of the book. She didn't have like a lot of motion to her. So I really wasn't happy. And I ended up like a week later, kind of at the end of the process, reaching out to the editor and the art director and saying like, can I please remake this? I already had some sketches available. And I thought they were going to be like, no, you can't do it. It's too late. But they kind of agreed as well. They liked the new sketches. And so I went ahead and I changed it, redid the final drawing. And that's now what's on the cover of Ambitious Girl.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the normal. Yeah, I don't think that's the normal process with Esme. We haven't gotten to the cover yet. It seems like it's going to be at the end of the process. So it's interesting to hear, Anna, that for Belle, it was at the beginning of the process. I think it probably depends on the illustrator and the art director and what they're doing.
Yes, yes.
Super interesting to hear different stories.
Yeah.
But a little note about that original illustration I didn't like for Ambitious Girl. That is actually now on the back cover of the book. And I was so surprised when the art director sent me the digital proof, because I saw that there and I was like, oh, I didn't like that illustration.
I've got to go check after I have the book.
but apparently they thought it was good enough to be able to be on the back of the book. So happy about that. And also with the front illustration, the final one, that like there's like a swoosh going through the book cover, and that actually made its way into some of the illustrations on the inside. So it's like the changes I made then affected the rest of the book, which I think ended up making it better. So it's a very interesting, fast, kind of crazy process for that cover design. Okay. And so did you guys have any input on the illustrations? Were there any communications between you and the illustrator? I know you kind of already talked about that, Anna, but I would love to hear more.
Yes, they both publishers sent me the sketches. Well, the Bruja, just a rough draft. They don't have the final sketches yet. But for Bea, she sent me the sketches and she asked me to look if there was something that, you know, either I didn't like, if I want to give some suggestions or things that could be wrong. I did make some suggestions for them, for both of them, for my Bruja and for the Bella, some things that I thought, you know, it would be more accurate if you would do it in one way or the other, like the cookies that she did for Bella. I thought you should have a little hole to put the dulce de leche and little details like that. So I communicated with the illustrator like through Twitter because we were planning on doing a panel together, but not about the illustrations, you know, not about what are you doing. I didn't like that. Everything was through my editor, you know. With Irena, the same thing. We already knew each other from Las Musas because she applied for the mentorship. She was going to be my mentee, but after that, we decided that I got a different mentee. But I already knew her, so sometimes I ask her, oh, when is the cover coming out? And she said, it's going to be the last thing, Anna. So we do communicate with each other, but not about the illustrations. Everything about the illustrations is through the editor. And yeah, I did gave some suggestions. I don't know if they're going to follow my suggestion or not. She was going to pass the information to the art director, and then we were going to, I don't know, they didn't reply me that after that, if they were going to make the changes I suggested or not. But yeah, in general, I'm very happy with both of my illustrators. They are both amazing, and I just give some suggestions.
And Gloria, what was your experience with your illustrator?
Again, as Anna said, all the communication was through the editor, and mainly it was when I saw the first pass, which was in black and white, I was so excited seeing that. Oh my gosh, it was so exciting to see it, to see the way that it was interpreted. You know, Duncan is just a fantastic illustrator. You know, I love his books. I've loved them from the beginning. And so it's really his style is just perfect for the book. There were some communication through the editor as we went along to the kind of final, when it was the color. Oh yes, when I saw the color, it was just added, oh my gosh, it was wonderful. But about the placement of the text with the images, about whether it was okay if he moved this text to a certain place and make it work with the images. And I had no problem with anything that he wanted to do to make it work better. So that was, I guess, really the only communication that I had.
Wow, that's really interesting to hear, because coming from the illustrator side, I feel like those communications between the editors and the authors, that's all smoke and mirrors for me. Like, I don't know what's being said there, whether it's the editors going, do you hate this? Do you love this? You know, those kinds of comments, or if it's something more specific, like where the text is going. I have no idea. That is something that any editors would ask the author about. So that's like cleared up some stuff for me. And that's really, really interesting to hear. This is kind of a side question for you guys, but were you able to choose your illustrators, or do you have any input on who the illustrator was?
For me, for Bella, no, she sent me, said, oh, we are, contacting Geraldine, if I liked her. I really loved her illustration, and I said, yes, I love her. For the Simon and Chester, they did send me at the beginning some illustrators that they were thinking about, and they asked for my preference so they could see kind of my style and the ones that I like it. I think the ones that they were thinking originally were all very busy with their commitments, but then they chose Irena Freitas, and they just asked me, how do I like her? I said, yes, I love her illustrations. I did make some comments on some things that I would like on the, about her illustrations and things like that. Yeah, so they did ask me for some input about which kind of illustrations I like, even before the acquisitions meeting, because she said, we're going to take to the acquisitions meeting for the Bruja, and we talk on the phone. Alyssa Liu is the... Eliza, I think I always say her name wrong, Eliza. She is the editor, and she said, oh, before the acquisitions meeting, I wanted to know your vision for the book, and I wanted to know your favorite illustrators. So I sent her a list, and so, yeah, they do did ask me for some input. And you, Gloria?
Well, for me, I think that my editor at Abrams thought that Duncan would be the perfect person. Mm-hmm. And he is. And I think that actually he probably acquired my manuscript because he saw that as a good pairing. Because his style fits, his mystic style fit with the Nahua, the indigenous person, you know, Lucy Menace. So it may even have influenced him in acquiring the manuscript because he thought that that would, and he told me early on that maybe that we'd be able to get Duncan. And of course I'm thrilled. I mean, he's an award-winning illustrator. He's well-known and basically doing his own books. So for him to illustrate mine was, he hadn't done that since his early career. So I just feel very lucky that he's the illustrator. So I was very happy saying, I think Duncan, I showed it to Duncan. I mean, this is even before they acquired, he said, I hope you're okay with it. I showed your manuscript to Duncan. He loves it. I think this will work. And we don't know for sure. He's working on his own project. And so it did work out. And he was, you know, needed to finish his own book before he could get started on mine. So, but that's fine. You know, as I said, I'm just really happy that he's the illustrator. So that's my story.
What a story. That's amazing. Wow, that's just a testament to how good your text is.
Thank you.
So for me, the communications between myself and the author, Mina Harris, it was very professional kind of communications. I obviously had a lot of input on the illustrations, as that was my entire job. But what I got from her, we just talked through the editor. And that's actually a question I get a lot from people, I guess because Mina Harris is, right, the niece of Kamala Harris. So I think people do get excited. Like, did you talk to Mina Harris? And it's like, yeah, through the editor. And because it was such a fast process too, because it was just a month long, I think if we kind of talked outside of the editor, it would have taken longer. It would have been, it wouldn't have been as efficient of a process. So I was very happy with the communication and they were very fast on getting back to me. So it was a really, really good experience. With the other book I'm doing, Esme, I do talk to Lourdes, the author, outside of the editor, outside of the publisher. But like you said, Anna, we talk through Instagram and it is mostly just kind of personal conversations. It's not anything that professional, anything dealing with the book or like specifics on changes that she once made or things like that. Those are all done through the editor. It's also interesting to hear that like the amount of input that you guys have had on the illustrations, because I think with Ambitious Girl, Mina had a lot of input. I think because the story was so close to her heart, right? It is about like her aunt and Kamala Harris, the story is pretty much about that. So she had very specific ideas in mind for the character. And we actually went through several rounds of character development where I showed them one thing and they sent back specific like photos, like, can you do it more like this? Or can you make her more like this? They had specific input about her shoes. and her outfit. because the outfit I originally made was based off of a outfit that Kamala Harris wore when she was a girl, right? So it looked like a late 70s kind of outfit. And they're like, can you make it more modern? And then of course they said, can you add the Converse to her, because Kamala Harris wears the black Converse. It's like so iconic. But with Esme, it's been a lot less specific. As an illustrator though, and I don't think all illustrators do this, I love making like character sheets for people. So when I sent in my characters for Esme, I sent in like 6 different versions of the character. Mm-hmm. And I said, can you like pick one or mix and match? You know, do you like the outfit from this one, but the hair from this one? Mm-hmm. And the editor, Sam, was like, this is great. she loved being able to have different versions to pick from. So I was like, okay, I'll keep on doing this in the future.
Yeah, my illustrator did that for the Bruja too. For the main character, for the girl, she sent a different characters, different sketches, and also for the Bruja. And they sent to me, but basically they picked. They were the one that said, oh, look at all the girls she done, but we really like the one that she has some, not ponytails, I don't know, some bumps on, like, on her head. Yeah, and then she said, we like that one, so I think we're going to go with that one. I said, yeah, I like that one too. So, yeah, so but she did that too. She sent different sketches for the characters.
Yeah, I think it's easier, at least for me as the illustrator, because if I send something in and they go, I don't like it, or like, we don't like it, for me, I'm kind of left in this position where I'm like, okay, what do I do next? So I like that they can pick certain things from certain characters and be like, oh, okay, this is at least a direction that we can go in.
Yes.
So yeah, wow, super interesting again to hear from the author's point of view. So when writing, did you imagine your character or a scene differently than the one done by the illustrator? Anna, you want to go?
Yes, well, the character, as I said, I don't know why, because my daughter, the story was kind of about my daughter and the scene that happened with me. But for some reason, I imagine her like the girl like my sister. So the character is not exactly like my sister, but it's very cute. So I'm very happy with that. The scenes, I don't imagine anything differently from the scene for Beya. I really think she really got it, what I was kind of visualizing in my mind. So I don't think so. But the character was a little different, but I love it. I think she's really cute. For the Bruja, yes, I did some of the things I imagined differently in my mind. I don't want to talk too much because the book is coming out, but there were some things that I did imagine different. I didn't tell my editor what the things that I imagined differently, but I'm very happy with the vision that they are putting in the book. It's just that I had a different imagination of the scenes, but I think the illustrator added a lot, because her illustrations are very energetic. So I like that there are a lot of, you know, you can see a lot of movement, even though the characters are not moving, but you kind of feel the movement and the energy. So I'm really happy, and I think the illustrators always imagine better than we do. So I imagine differently, but I think she imagined better. So I'm really happy with the results.
Cool. And Gloria, what about you?
I did imagine my characters differently, because I was imagining Lucy Menes as I saw photographs of the artwork she was in and the murals she was in and the drawings and so on. So I kind of imagined it the way she was portrayed. Of course, I didn't know Duncan Donadieu would be the artist, and he has a very specific style of images where they are the side view, which was the way it was in the codex, the Mixtec codex that he uses as kind of a basis. And so kind of on a Mayan and Aztec or Nahua goddesses. But I'm very thrilled with what I got. You know, I'm just, and I will say this too, I put his name out to the universe. You know, you kind of put it out there and it actually happened because he's perfect for it. And but when I was imagining it, it was different. But I'm extremely happy with what we have.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's great to hear that authors may have a certain idea in mind, but then once they get the illustration, even though they may be different, it still fits the book. That's like the amazing thing about the author illustrator relationship, right?
Right.
Cool. Yes, I think it's always better. They always imagine better than us because that's why you are an illustrator, right? So you can imagine more things. I don't know. But yeah, it's sometimes it's different, but I think it's always better.
Yeah, when I saw particularly the color pass of the book, I was just jumping up and down thinking, oh my gosh. The Luz Jimenez has come alive, you know.
Yes.
It's just incredible to see it, to see the finished product. And also something I didn't expect is that the cover has one illustration on the outside, but then the actual hardcover book has a different illustration, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's just,
yeah.
So they're two different ones, and I love both of them. It's like, wow, yay.
You got a bonus, yeah.
Oh my goodness, yeah. I don't know how long that's been a thing for, how long that's been going on, but I feel like more and more picture books have that where you take off the jacket and something is different on the inside. And those are just the best surprises because it relates to the story. You've already read the story and then you take it off and you're like, oh my gosh, it all makes sense now. It's like a puzzle that comes together.
Yeah.
So cool.
And the one that's on the inside has, the one on the outside has the girl holding a basket of fruit because that's kind of after one of the things she modeled for. But the one on the inside has a big word bubble, which kind of goes throughout these word bubbles. And they're very artistic bubbles with text in them, are just showing the bubbles of the stories and so on that she told. But on the inside cover, it has all this Inawa inside of it. And it's like, oh my gosh, yes. Well, I would never have thought of that. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
As an illustrator, I have to say that's like the dream too. I didn't do that with Ambitious Girl, but going forward, it's like all I can think of, right? What is the inside cover going to be? Are they going to let me do that? That's so exciting. I'll say, coming from the other side, imagining the characters being differently. Like I said, because Nina Harris, the author, had like a specific idea in mind. When I was first starting out, I kind of imagined things, I think, very differently from what they were expecting. I was thinking of a very limited color palette. And I think it's kind of like transferred through in the final book, but originally I was thinking of having the first part of the book almost black and white, very, very, very limited. And then at the end, extremely bright and just like beautiful and energetic and lots of color. And I think from a marketing perspective, I think they were like, well, we don't want the kid to open the book and the first few pages be like,
yeah,
so dark. So they kept on saying, can you add more color here? Can you add more color there? And as someone who's just thinking of illustrations, it was hard for me to get that. But eventually I was like, oh yeah, this is for children. Children love color, that kind of thing. But all the changes, even though I may have been like, oh, I think the book would be better this way, I never felt like attacked in any way. It was always like the things that they were saying, I was like, oh yeah, that does make sense. And in the end, it did make the book better, which is, yeah, another reason why I love being on like a team, working with a team of people, because mm-hmm. there's so many people who can give their input. And I think
yes.
it really bring the book to a better place than if you were just working on it by yourself. Also, as an illustrator, I feel like I'm saying that a lot, as an illustrator, I feel the most inspired whenever I see writing that is beautiful and just totally blows my mind and is something that I cannot imagine. With Ambitious Girl and with Esme, it's like the writing was so good that I immediately just started getting ideas in my brain of what I wanted to do, how I was imagining the scene. Where if I was by myself, you know, making a standalone illustration, sometimes it's so, so difficult to mm-hmm. figure out what am I going to draw today. So just like you guys are so incredibly important as the authors, because I don't think the illustrators can do what they do without a really good manuscript. So yeah, just wanted to say that as well. Beautiful great. Writing is the best form of inspiration, I think.
Wonderful.
Okay, so how did you guys think the illustration added to your text?
Oh yeah, it's so much, like it adds like movement, energy, color. So for my Bella, it really adds a lot of on her character too, because you can see her faces. And the Bruja too, they have so, like for the Bella, you can see her eyes like that she's really feeling left out. And then you can see when I love the middle spread when she's really sad and she says, I quit. It's beautiful. You can really see what's going on through, you can see her emotions through the picture, right? And for the Bruja, the girl is very sneaky. So she has so many like faces, different facial expressions that says it all with her facial expressions. I really love her facial expressions. Like when she's being sneaky, she has those eyes. I don't know how you guys do it because I cannot do expressions, but it's, yeah, it's really cool because you can see that all the movement, all the energy, all the feelings, it really adds so much. For the Bella, they asked me if they could add some cat. So she put a cat in the illustrations and the cat's there too. And for the Bruja, she had so much stuff that I don't know how she does it. You know, both of them added a lot, the fresh facial expressions and everything. You can really feel the character when you're looking at the book. So it's really important.
Wow. And Gloria?
Well, Duncan's illustrations just brought Lucy Menace to life. I mean, the backgrounds, the mountains that are in the background are because there are mythologies about them, and they're in the text, and the shape of the mountains. I mean, there's so much there that it's just perfect. There are flowers. I mean, because this is a Child of the Flower Song people, there are flowers in different types at different places, and that just work perfectly. It's just, I can't even tell you how much, because he took that text and he just made it come alive. You know, you can see it in the illustrations. And beyond what was in the text, yes. Goes beyond that. So, yeah, I just think it's wonderful. I mean, the ideas of the stories that are being told in her, that she passes on, that are ancient stories, have been passed down through the generations, and how that just comes through in those little, they're not bubbles, but speech. Mm-hmm. Emphasis, and even using that some places as just part of a border or so on. It's just wonderful. I can't even tell you. It's just, it brought it alive. What can I say?
That's amazing to hear. I also feel with like nonfiction books, the illustrations when they add that extra something are so important, because you're also probably learning something from the illustrations or encouraging the child to go and, you know, research that more. That's so, so important. Can I say the more that you two talk about your books, the more excited I get as well?
No, it's so exciting.
How beautiful they are. But when it came to Ambitious Girl and what the illustrations I hope brought to the book, I'm a big believer in having something in the illustration that's not in the text, right? Not just illustrating what's there, but adding like even a second storyline. So an Ambitious Girl, Mina wrote the manuscript, you know, talking about this experience where girls are told they're too ambitious, and then how they can get past that and how they can move forward and how they can grow from that. But what I wanted to do was actually provide like a through line with that text, because it's so lyrical and doesn't have like a specific story to it. So I created the illustration so that Ambitious Girl and her family are walking to a place, and then at the end you realize they've been actually walking to a stage where Ambitious Girl is receiving an award, which is the Ambitious Girl of the Year. And that wasn't in the text. That's something I added on my own. And I felt so honored, really, to be able to kind of make that in the illustration and have the editor and the author be like, oh, okay, you're making a whole like secondary story to this. It almost felt like it wasn't my place to do that, but I think it hopefully added something to the story and made it so that you wanted to, you know, keep on turning the pages in the book. So yeah, I do think having those illustrations add something to the text is really important. That's something I really try to do as an illustrator. I will say it is so hard to do that as an illustrator. So easy to draw just like exactly what's there. But I think that's also the most fun about being an illustrator, adding those little things, especially like a cat in a book. That's that's like my dream, having, you know, like in Esme there's actually a cat, and having a cat, you know, like cooking or washing dishes. It doesn't say that it's doing that in the text, but making those illustrations is really fun.
It's really a collaborative process. I mean, it's the text is there, but the text is just a beginning place for the finished book, because the illustrator and the text.
Yes, the book belongs to both. When I say, I don't say my book, I say our book, because it really belongs to both of us. You know, it's I couldn't do it without her. Exactly. So it is our book, because the illustrators do create some extra layers and extra stories, like you said, through our text.
Yeah, and I actually, I want to say that with Esme, when you're talking about this like collaborative process, Esme, especially when I submitted the, like the roughs for the book, they were kind of based around my background, right? So the settings were like Mexican-American settings, the people in it were from a Mexican-American background, and they loved the roughs, the editor, art director, and Lourdes, but Lourdes came back and she said, you know, I love that you're putting herself in this. She's from a Cuban American background. Mm-hmm. Can we incorporate a Cuban palette, like a color palette to it? Which are these beautiful pastels. So I was so excited to to work with that. So now this book has kind of become a combination of my heritage, myself, and Lourdes as well. And I think that makes the book just like, oh my gosh, like so much more special, right? Like I really care about this book now. And I love that she wanted to, right? She wasn't like, no, everything needs to be from a Cuban American background. Yes. But you wanted to blend it together.
That's exactly what happens to me too, because my my background, I'm Brazilian, but my family's a blended family, so we are Cuban, Brazilian, American. So when my editor asked me, because the illustrator is Mexican, so could he have a Mexican, a more like a Mexican background? They said, yeah, sure, you know, it is a collaboration. But she did put a character that the dad is wearing a Brazilian shirt. So that was really cute. I love it. He's wearing like a yellow and green shirt with the symbol. So I said, well, that is really nice that she put the dad was Brazilian, you know. So yeah. I like that. It was really sweet of her thinking about that. So yes, it's always like I said, it is always a collaboration. And yeah, it is. You add more if it's Mexican and Cuban and Brazilian, all the backgrounds together, right? So you add even more to the story.
Yeah. All right. Well, that seems like a great place to stop for now. Thank you so much, Anna and Gloria. It was so much fun talking with both of y'all today. It's been a great experience. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books, and be sure to check out our bookshop page where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered to your inbox. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.